2023-12, Wenscape Farms.
Thank you. This is a cluster subdivision to divide 26.4 acres plus or minus into 49 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County. The property is lying on the northwest side of Pettijohn Road, which is Sussex County Route 255, approximately 0.75 mile northeast of Prettyman Road, which is Sussex County Route 254. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 25, Parcel 45.01. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record for this cluster subdivision application, we have a copy of, and bear with me, the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibits, a copy of the staff review letter, a copy of the proposed restrictive covenants for the subdivision. We have a copy of the artesian letter, the willing to serve letter. We have a copy of the school district notification letter. We have a copy of the applicant's resource buffer management plan. We have a copy of the plus comments from the state planning office and the applicant's response to the state planning office. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter and the applicant's drainage assessment, and we have a copy of the TAC comments, including responses received from Delaware Department of Transportation, DENREC Drainage Program, Sussex County Engineering Department, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, Delaware Electric Co-op, and Delmarva Power. And I would note that we have received one comment, which is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
My apologies, Madam Chair, my apologies. I've just read into the record the applicant's next application. So for it to be 100% accurate, my apologies, I have to,
okay.
Separate. To reread the list, because the list is different for the two applications. For 2312, which is the 49 single family lots, we have the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, the applicant's exhibits, the staff review letters, the proposed deed restrictions, technical advisory comments from the US Department of Soils, the local school district notification, Sussex County Engineering Department, the Office of Drinking Water, DENREC, which is the Division of Water, Office of the State Fire Marshal, the Artesian Water Ready to Serve Letter, the DLDOT Service Level Evaluation Response Letter, and the applicant's area-wide study fee memo, and one comment. My apologies, the other list is for the applicant's other application.
All right, so we are on 2023-12 Wenscape. Okay, thank you. Get that straight for the record. Okay, floor is yours. Microphone. Thank you.
For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm the attorney representing the applicant. I do intend to be much briefer than the last time I appeared before you.
Thank you.
I represent the applicant, Ribera Development LLC. With me are John Stamato on behalf of the applicant. Also Mark Davidson, Alan Dechter, and Eric Wall with Pannoni Associates. An exhibit booklet was submitted for the record containing relevant information about the application, including the 999C report. This is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision containing 49 single family lots to be called Wenscape Farms. The land is located on the western side of Pettijohn Road. It's just east of the Shingle Point Road, Gravel Hill Road intersection. The site contains 26.36 acres of mainly wooded land with a section of open field along Pettijohn Road. on the north, the land borders a wooded parcel fronting on Pettijohn Road. And behind that, the Four Wind subdivision, which was also developed by the applicant and is currently under construction. Four Winds is a 336-lot cluster subdivision that the commission approved in January of 2023. To the west are agricultural lands and an active older borrow pit. And south of the site are two residences and a 109-acre mainly cleared agricultural parcel, as Mr. Whitehouse stated, you're going to be hearing more about the 109-acre parcel shortly, since it also has a pending cluster subdivision application filed by the applicant that will be the next hearing. The proposed site is zoned AR1, It's located in the low-density area of the 2018 Comprehensive Plan. As you know, the Comprehensive Plan recognizes that agricultural uses and single-family homes are permitted uses in the low-density area, and that a cluster option subdivision is permitted in the low-density area at a density of 2 lots per acre, provided that public sewer is utilized and significant open space is set aside. Also, the AR1 zoning district allows cluster subdivisions as a permitted use, subject to the superior design requirements of the code. As to the proposed Windscape Farm subdivision, central water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Artesian Water Company. Artesian currently has a 12-inch water main running through the property to serve the adjacent Four Winds subdivision. Central sewer will be provided by Artesian Wastewater Management by way of of the adjacent Four Winds development, and an ability to serve water and sewer letter from Artesian is in the record. The electricity will be provided by the Delaware Electric Cooperative. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with NREC's current sediment and stormwater regulations and reviewed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District. Pannoni Associates performed an on-site investigation that determined that there were no tidal or non-tidal wetlands or water courses located on the site. There is a natural drainage way running south to north, which captures water runoff from the agricultural field to the south and discharges it to the north for brief periods of time when the volume of runoff requires it. Under the FEMA flood insurance maps, the site is located outside of the flood zone in Zone X. The site is mostly wooded, containing 22.56 forested acres. Approximately 16.22 acres will be impacted by the development, and 5.54 acres of the woodlands will be preserved. Pannoni also performed a phase one environmental site assessment, and based on inspection of the site, review of historical documents and photography, interviews and regulatory records determined that there were no environmental conditions or risks associated with the property. As stated in its memorandum dated September 18th, 2024, DLDOT determined that based on the traffic volumes, the development was permitted to pay an area-wide study fee in lieu of doing a traffic impact study. In addition, the developer is responsible for improvements to Pettyjohn Road within the limits of the site frontage and construction of the entrance to the development in accordance with DLDOT requirements. The design of the subdivision occurred as follows. The site was inspected. The area of the site most appropriate for preservation was identified, which in this situation was that natural drainage area bisecting the site south to north. And you can see that's approximately right in the middle of the property. To minimize impact on that portion of the site, two locations were determined to be appropriate for development, an area to the east and an area to the west of that drainage area. Additionally, due to the wooded nature of the site, attention was given to only removing trees where needed for subdivision infrastructure and lot location. And then after that was completed, the roads, sidewalks, and lots were laid out as shown on the site plan. As you can see on the site plan, Windscape Farms will contain 49 single-family lots. That would be a density of 1.8 lots per acre in compliance with the AR cluster density of 2 lots per acre. The smallest lot would be 77,500 square feet, the largest 10,600 square feet. The entrance to the development will be from Pettyjohn Road. As I stated, it will be designed and constructed in compliance with DLDOT requirements. The development streets will be private, built to Sussex County Engineering Department design standards. Sidewalks will be located on one side of all subdivision streets, with street lighting with downward directed illumination. All lots will front on development streets, including two cul-de-sacs. As shown on the site plan, the front and rear sections of the community are separated by the drainage area, and that drainage area will remain in a natural state except for the road crossing. The front section closest to Pettyjohn Road will contain 18 single-family lots. The rear section will contain 31 single-family lots. In the rear section, the internal streets will be interconnected with the Four Winds subdivision to the north, which you can see on the top of the site plan. And in the rear, to the south, I mean to the bottom of the site plan, it's also designed to be interconnected with the proposed Symphony Glen subdivision to the south, which is the subject of the next hearing. But they would have interconnection as designed. There will be an on-site neighborhood park with landscaping, a gazebo, and benches. And the development will share use of the recreational facilities to be located on the Symphony Glen subdivision located to the south, which, as I mentioned, the internal roads would be connected between the two developments. The recreational facilities in Symphony Glen would be sized to accommodate the residents of both subdivisions and will include a clubhouse with a floor area of at least 1,500 square feet, an outdoor swimming pool and deck, and a tot lot. And again, I just want to acknowledge for the record that I understand I'm referring to another subdivision that hasn't even been heard yet, and I understand that this would require approval of both these subdivisions. I don't want to imply that I'm taking anything for granted. I just want you to know that they're tied together.
I understand that, but I have just one question. So you're saying that there will be one amenity package for both if they both are approved. Okay, thank you.
I also want to mention that while it's only in the planning stage, the applicant has been working with the Sussex County Land Trust regarding the possible creation of a bicycle pedestrian multi-use path connecting the town of Milton and a parcel that's called the Forest of the Broadkill on Route 30, which is owned by the Sussex County Land Trust. The land trust property, the forest property, is a 294-acre site containing a combination of fields and hardwood forest, which the land trust plans to conserve the forest areas and to develop a public recreation component featuring a public trail system. The applicant, in talking to the land trust, has proposed having the path run through the open space area adjacent to the drainage area across the Windscape site that possibly could involve some removal of a strip of trees in order to accommodate the path. But again, that hasn't been determined yet, or whether that's going to happen will be determined yet. It's possible the trail could go somewhere else out on the road, but it would be a nice feature to run through there and would fit in with what's planned. Any alternative, the applicant has discussed making a monetary contribution to the land trust toward the path in lieu of a land dedication. And I would just say it's understood that the site plan, if the subdivision's approved, there'd have to be a revised site plan to come in to show the location of that path, if and when that ever happens. The buffers on the subdivision, as shown on the site plan, there's a 30-foot wide buffer around the perimeter of the site. Most of that will consist of the existing woodlands that are on the site. There will be no dwelling within 50 feet of the boundaries with agricultural lands, and in fact, all lot lines are located outside of 50 feet of any agricultural lands. The north and east boundary, which would be the top of the site plan, they border existing woodlands. The 30-foot buffer in that location would be 20 feet of woodlands and 10 feet of grass, because that is the location of the easement with Artesian that runs the water line in. And again, that actually only requires a 20-foot buffer there because it's not adjacent to a residential development. The development will have total open space of approximately 13.49 acres, which is about 51% of the site. And as I mentioned, that includes 5.54 acres of the existing forest. And the majority of that is located in that one large contiguous area across the center of the site where the drainage area is located. The site is located within the service area of the Milton Fire Department and in the Cape Henlopen School District. The location of a school bus stop would be coordinated with the school district. The community will have a homeowners association comprised of all lot owners that will be responsible for enforcing the community restrictions, collecting assessments, and maintaining the development streets, entrance, buffers, landscaping, stormwater facilities, and all other community common areas. I will submit for your consideration proposed findings and conditions of approval. And that would conclude our presentation, subject to any questions the commission may have for me or for Pannoni.
All right, thank you, Mr. Fuqua. We'll see if anyone has any questions. Mr. Butler, we'll start with you again. Thank you.
The million-dollar question, traffic. It's going to be quite a few cars. One public comment, she's actually commenting on both developments, about drainage and the traffic for the road that it can handle. Mr. Whitehouse isn't here, in here. Vince, Mr. Robinson, would you know anything about TID money that's coming up for this road, or is there anything planned for TID money?
Well, this is outside the TID.
No, I'm not on. This is outside the TID, so that wouldn't come into play here, is my understanding. But Mr. Fuqua stated, I think, that there was an area-wide study fee contribution in lieu of a TIS, which is presumably the case because there's already studies that exist in the area. But there wouldn't be any. It's not part of the TID, so there wouldn't be any impact fee contributions part of the TID.
Mr. Butler, with this being just 49 lots, it was not a significant impact on traffic, so
connecting to the other development.
I will address that on the other development, but is it okay if I just keep them separate? Because I think
that's fine. We'll hit that one later. Go ahead. I'm done, Ms. Wingate. For now.
So if we were to move to approve this, you would probably want a condition of approval that is contingent on the approval of the other one, or no?
Well, since you're going to deal with them probably at the same time, so.
Since this has no amenity plan.
Other than a small park, and that's intentional. And again, on the next hearing, I'll explain that in a little more detail, why this is, because you're wondering, why isn't this one subdivision? Okay.
Why don't you put that on the record on this one?
It's
the obvious question. So,
The reason was basically the time they came under contract. One had come under contract. The application was filed. It was some time before the other property came under contract. That application was filed about 13 months after the first application. So rather than, I don't know what you do. We had two pending applications. So they're separate subdivisions. They're going to have a shared use of the recreational facilities.
But it sounds like if they're both approved, ultimately it will be one subdivision is what we're saying.
I don't know. I think the intention is to keep them actually as separate.
And how are you going to do shared amenities?
What's that?
How will you do shared amenities?
Oh, you just do it by a contractual agreement.
Okay.
Everyone would be treated the same as far as the use of the facilities. But whether it's one subdivision or two, I just don't know that. We haven't gotten that far.
Well, I mean, would they be governed by the same restrictive covenants, or?
I would think they're going to be identical, probably.
Sounds pretty close to the same.
Okay.
So they wouldn't share the same HOA?
Again, we're not that far in terms of how that would be worked out when you're just at the land use portion of this.
Understood.
Again, but for the fact that one was for sale and was purchased and developed, and then, you know, it would have been one application. But
it just feels weird to me that we're having to look at this as two separate ones when really it's probably going to be one.
If they're
one
both approved,
and we have questions.
I certainly will consider, you know, if there's anything That would prohibit them being combined.
Well, I'm concerned about the interconnectivity, and not to interrupt you, but interconnectivity. So if one gets approved and the other one doesn't, because we've been adamant about asking for second access, emergency access. So then that may not happen if we don't have all those parts and pieces.
Yeah, and that's why they should be treated together, because, you know, again, with the interconnectivity that will be there anyway.
But the bigger concern is with internet connectivity, because we've lived through this, is that if it's there's three separate subdivisions, then one subdivision says, we don't want all those cars coming through our subdivision. They come back in to modify it, and it's just...
And somebody wants a gate.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it's not something... We could probably deal with it if the commission's inclined to...
Well, I mean, I've always said, I don't know... I've never thought interconnectivity was a good idea, because these are private streets. I don't know what that does with liability and things of that nature. You know, it's the commission that's requiring the interconnectivity.
Because it gives emergency access vehicles.
Oh, no, I understand the reason, but there's just, it's a really complicated issue. And as you know, because you went through this, it can create a thoroughfare through
a
subdivision.
Well, but Mr. Fuqua, the point is, though, in the public hearing, you're proposing a subdivision that has interconnectivity. Don't argue to us that it's not a good idea.
No, I'm doing it because it's a requirement. It's what the commission wants. Now, I was just saying that it was a complicated issue. You have decided you want interconnectivity. We have potentially interconnectivity to, not potentially.
But I guess that's what we're questioning. Is it really going to happen?
It's shown on the plan.
Essentially, it's two applications for one development. That's all.
County code encourages interconnectivity, so we're trying to align with the county code. It's okay if I ask
Please,
a few questions? I don't think I saw anything about any provisions for contributions to fire, EMS, or the school system that would be voluntary and being proffered as part of this.
There was no discussion of that.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
I have none at this time.
Okay, that just would make a comment adding to what Mr. Collins was just asking about. Was there? I would note the letter that came in from the Cape and Lopin School District, and which is concerning, again, as usual.
I do have one thing to circle back to.
Go ahead.
I think one of the reasons that I'm a little concerned about the approval of this one and the intertwining of the potential amenities, if looking ahead to, you know, a few years down the road, if the developer is selling lots in this development that are advertising amenities in this other subdivision. We have some examples recently of subdivisions where residents don't feel like they're getting things delivered that they should be getting delivered. So I want to be sure if this moves forward, ideally this should be merged with that other subdivision at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. You don't need two HOAs.
If they're going to share amenities, it feels as though they should be connected.
Well, so here's the issue. They're two separate applications. I mean, so we have to act on them separately. That's something that if you're inclined to approve it, we would have to address through conditions somehow. And I'm not prepared right now on the
spot,
you know, to advise how that could happen.
I just know that this is an issue in the community.
Yeah, you're correct. We have heard that before.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Okay. Anybody on staff have any questions?
I will, just one point, I will do a counterpoint to that. You know, there's an element to consider this with also this being a 49-lot subdivision, whether it's appropriate in a subdivision that size to have the same amenity package that you would have in a larger subdivision as well. So I think the flip side of it is the commission could also consider whether a subdivision of 49 lots would need its own amenity package regardless. But the issue is, and I hear what the commission's saying, is just to make sure that this doesn't become an issue later on once lots are sold.
If they're sold, the bill of sale, that they're going to get it, yes.
Yes.
I understand both points.
Well,
yes.
And again, I would only add that, as you know, the zoning ordinance now requires that the amenities be completed by a certain point. Yes. I think it's 60%, I believe.
60.
And you can put whatever condition you want on there. I understand if there are two different subdivisions, you can make it the total of those lots, or you can say whatever you want to say. Contractually, this can all be put together, so everybody has the right to use it under the same circumstances. It's not really that complicated. I know it's unusual to be dealing with it, but again, it'll be guaranteed that you have to do that, or building permits would be cut off if the amenities weren't built. And quite frankly, most of the amenities would probably be built on the earlier stage of the development, just because that's, they sell better if things are there.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions? Staff? Okay.
No, for me.
All right. If you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of application number 2023-12, Windscape Farms? In favor? Is there anybody here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Give us your name, sir. You may have the floor.
Kevin Jester. I live across the street from where this development is proposed. First problem, being connected to that other development. This is a township road, and they're only wanting to pave in front of the township.
I'm sorry, say that, which road is this you're talking about?
Petty John Road.
Oh, yes, okay.
It's a township road,
right.
Barely wide enough for two cars to go through. The road likes to flood different places. It's not prepared for construction traffic coming to the development or anything like that.
Okay.
Second problem, I don't think it should be hooked up to that big development. It should never.
The interconnection,
that,
you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, that should never be, because that's just going to make it a... even worse on a road that's not ready for a development.
Okay.
Through the middle of the property, and this will come back to everything, it should be a ditch through there, because down the road it floods coming to the property. It likes to flood behind people's houses.
All right.
Then they said there's no environmental problems. That was pretty much a dump for farmers, and it was the dump for a local construction company who was related to the farmer. Lord only knows what's buried in there, and I don't know how they got that there's no environmental problems. And, you know, I got a well right across the street. They go in there and dig it up. They're not telling nobody if they hit oil or anything like that unless they can sell it.
Well, there will be soil analysis that they'll have to do.
So and I've had access on it from previous owners, and there's just junk everywhere in there.
Okay.
Where you can see that there was stuff in there.
Okay. Anything else?
Can you show us on the map where it floods at?
There's a lane that comes down here,
mm-hmm.
An old lane, because there used to be a house right here. And if you walk that lane, there's debris everywhere. Back when we had permission, we tried to, like, metal detect it. You can't metal detect it because there's just crap everywhere. You try to dig under, you got crap.
Well, just show us where it floods at, where the water backs up at that you were concerned about.
What's that?
Where the water was backing up, where the ditch.
Yeah, because it don't even look like they're going to try to put any pipes underneath of that.
But where does it flood now after heavy rain?
Down the road, it'll be where the next development that they're wanting to do.
So it's on the next parcel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And it don't even look like they want to put ditches underneath the lane going in there.
Okay. We'll look at that when that's in front of us as well. Okay. Was there anything else, sir?
Can you pull up the one thing again? Make sure it didn't happen.
Which? Mr. Whitehouse, I think he wants to see a different plan. Is this the one that you want, sir?
No, I think that was pretty well it.
Is that it? Okay. All right. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition?
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Fuchs. I live on Prettyman Road. That development will abut the next one, which I will be talking about also. The biggest concern that we have is the little ditch right there. We have that runs through our property, my neighbor's property, through the next one into the center and goes that way. No one from the Conservation Commission has walked that. We got that because of Azalea Woods. When they put that one in, they did the same thing. They said, "Oh, look, there's a ditch on the map." Nobody went and walked it until we all got up in their faces and said, "What are you doing?" And they finally decided, oh, look, there are three places that are blocked. Denrec went in and put two 60-inch culverts across 30 from that development to come down to our properties and flood my property and my neighbor's property because the way the next one is farmed, it goes uphill before it goes downhill into one of the, what I call the islands in the middle. So.
Can we get a plan up there to see what the area that he's speaking of, please?
So you look at this one, that's the one we're doing. This is the next one, this is the island. And right here, this is where there's supposed to be drainage all the way down from the other side of Route 30, and it stops in multiple places and floods all along the way, floods there, until it crests, and I don't know what the height is, but it has to get up so high that we can basically put a boat in the backyard.
And where is your property?
It abuts right here.
Okay.
And then my neighbor, other one we'll speak with, is right here. There is no drainage. It's hopefully the ground is dry enough so that when the rains come, and we've had 3 inches of water over our driveway, which is, you know, the ditch is 3.5 feet deep when it's in a good position. So there's a lot of problems with that. Not to mention Pettyjohn. Pettyjohn is a tar and chip road. Curved like this.
I've been on it.
And there's no traffic problem. Have you seen Prettyman Road as they started moving everything? And now, as we have people coming, you know, moving down all the back roads, we used to be able to go down a back road and, you know, spend extra time, which was nice because you get to see something different. It's more difficult, very difficult now, and getting worse and worse. We just have to have a four-way stop put in Prettyman and Pettyjohn because of the accidents that I was a witness to. Traffic is a problem, as we all know, everywhere, but it's getting worse and worse with all these things. So, yeah.
Madam Chairman, we got some people
ladies,
that think they're
ladies,
at a public or excuse a me. Town hall meeting. There's no talking.
Please.
If you want to talk, go outside in the foyer. Go ahead, sir.
Those are the biggest concerns that we have. You know, I guess a little one is the animals that are coming through. It's taken away all the spot where all the deer and the antelopes play and moves to another location. Where are they going to go?
We're still getting commentary, you know, over here.
So,
could you please hold your comments? It messes up the hearing that we're having.
And if we can hear you up here, then we can't hear the speaker. That's why we need everybody to be quiet.
It's interrupted.
Okay, was there anything else, sir?
Security,
we're good.
Talk with this gentleman with the hat.
Thank you.
I think the issue is...
No,
you're fine.
Yeah, right there. You know what you did.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Everybody, we just need quiet. Mr. Mears, I got it. We just need everybody to be quiet during the public hearing, because the problem is everything gets picked up on the microphone, and we can't hear the person at the podium. And that interrupts the broadcast out on the internet, and it's distracting from the proceedings, it's distracting from the commission. So we certainly want to hear what everybody wants to say, but we can't have the conversations going on out in the audience.
We just need to keep it in order, please.
Or the grumbling or making faces or any of that nonsense. Thank you. Should we bring the engineers up to talk about?
Okay. Did you want to address, as the engineer, do you want to address the drainage issues they have now or wait for the second part, since it seems to be more so on the, Mr. Robertson, I'm not sure if that would be appropriate to talk about that.
I want to address that in the second application. So.
It seems to be on the second parcel, so, okay. All right, we'll get to those concerns with the drainage and the second application. Is there anybody else that would like to speak in opposition?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Susan Davis Tyndall. My husband and I live at 18199 Pettyjohn Road, and I apologize, I'm getting a cold, which is located across the street from Windscape Farms Cluster Subdivision and the other subdivision, so I'm going to try to keep them separate. But we were discussing the interconnectivity that was possible. We already have markings all down the road for water. They're proposing to put water through that development back to the one that's on Shingle Point. So I don't think it's proposed, or else we wouldn't be running that water. That water is supposedly for hydrants. I believe their regular water service is being served on Shingle Point. So I don't believe this was by circumstance that this little section of ground has been purchased. This was, in my opinion, planned all along. There's also a land grab. There's other land further down on Shingle Point that would, I'm guessing, they would love to get a hold of to make kind of like another big Millville by the Sea, if you will, another big just pulling these pieces together. We have Azalea Woods, which is on Route 30, which was 610 homes. Then we have this development, which is very small in comparison, and then the other development that you'll be discussing later. We're looking at over 3,000 potential people in like this much time. You know how quick they build because they want to get paid for the houses. 3,000 people. Imagine coming home and having 3,000 people driving on your streets. We have one grocery store, Food Line, very small. Can't accommodate all these people. The roads don't accommodate. My daughter works for the school district. She works with the consortium. They deal with kids with disabilities. They've had to cut full-time students to half days because they don't have the room to keep all these children. And I'm assuming these are family homes. There's going to be children coming with that. The referendums, you guys have heard and seen, we can't get things passed. People don't want to keep coming out of their pockets, taxes going up. I know, I've heard, there's nothing we can do. We don't have anything in the codes. There is one potential positive. Can we go back to not phasing these projects? These developers are buying up these projects, and they're phasing them out. And that happened when the market crashed. We allowed the developers to phase so as not to hurt them, to not hurt our construction people, to not hurt all the businesses and people that work. And that was a great thing. We did. We got through that period of time. But that time ended, and we are still allowing phasing. We have projects, I think it's the estuary, phased out like 38, 42 phases. Like, maybe you can consider, I know moratorium is a dirty word. Nobody wants to be the bad guy and say we want a moratorium. I get it. We don't want people to lose jobs. We don't want to have this big stall. But can we go back, perhaps, maybe, to not allowing the phasing? Make them bond this stuff up front. You would not then have people being able to run three developments potentially at a time. Some of these people own multiples, and it's really getting bad. It's getting real bad. So I urge you guys to consider the amount of people that are coming into this very small little area in such a quick amount of time. I'm not opposed to growth, but we've got to kind of slow it down and spread it out a little bit. Thank you.
Hey, is there anybody else who'd like to speak in opposition? Anybody else? Anybody else have anything on the commission or? Okay, all right, we'll close the public hearing for 2023-12 Wenscape Farms.